Welcome everybody for Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. I'm glad you're here if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. My name is Wade, if you don't know who I am, and I'm glad you're watching, or I'm glad you're here if you're here in person. Let me open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll just get right into tonight's message. I know we're getting started a little bit late. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to get up here and to share what you've laid on my heart this week. And Father, I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and let everything that's said, Lord, be from you. None of my own opinions, my beliefs or ideas, but only your truth, God. And Father, I just pray for all those that are sick right now that can't be here in person or are here and sick. I just pray that you'd touch them right where they are, God, and let them feel that your comfort. Let them know that you love them and you see them and you do care about them. Father, I just ask for your blessing on this service. I just pray, Lord, for every heart and every mind that hears it, that they would be open to receive it, God, and not only to understand it and hear it and remember it, but I pray that you'd give us courage to apply these things to our lives, Lord, so that we can be the servants that we need to be for you. And be the examples, Lord, and the leaders that we need to be to get others to you. And Father, we just turn everything over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we'll just get right into it here. If you were here last week or watching online last week, we talked mostly about loving like Jesus. And that's pretty much what we'll be talking about tonight, too, just in a little different context. And last week we talked about not so much loving like Jesus just in a frame of mind. You know, we do that too, but we talked about loving like Jesus in practical ways. You know, how we can love like Jesus did in our everyday lives. You know, how we can show people the love of Jesus in our actions and not just in what we say. You know, show people the love of Jesus. And not just tell people Jesus loves you, but actually show them that Jesus loves them. And it's been running through my mind all week. I think I said something to Mom about it the other day. In the book of Jude, in verse 12, it's talking about clouds with no water. You know, people that make huge promises just to make themselves look godly, but they never had any intentions of coming through with them in the first place. And that verse says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So, you know, there's people out there that promise you all kinds of things in God's name, but they're just trying to make themselves look good. And they have no intentions of coming through on those things. And that's not the only place you see that illustration. You see it all through the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, it's talking about the same kind of people. It says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom is the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And you can see it again in Proverbs chapter 25. In verse 14, it says, whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. And the Bible's full of illustrations about people that do that. You know, they make promises in the name of God, and then they don't keep them. And I think that's why a lot of people don't have any faith in the church, because the church keeps promising them things and never coming through on it. And, you know, I don't want to be that guy. And I believe a lot of people, especially new believers, that's why they give up on their faith. Because people do promise them a better life if they just come to Christ. And when they do, and they run into problems, or if they're going through a difficult time, the very same people that promise them the moon, you know, that promise them that everything will be better, they're nowhere to be found. You know, like I said a minute ago, they never had any intention of helping them in the first place. They just wanted the glory of looking like they led someone to Christ. And Jesus warns about people like that, that they just want to glory in themselves. They had no intention in the first place of actually trying to help anybody. And I really don't want to be that guy. And I don't believe you guys want to be like that either. You know, you're here on a Wednesday night, or you're watching on a Wednesday night. And that tells me that you're probably serious about your faith. And we should be serious about our faith. We shouldn't be the clouds with no water in them. You know, if we make promises, especially in the name of God, we should carry those out. And I believe, you know, that God has really blessed us here at Grace with people that not only tell you they will help you, but they actually follow through with it. And I believe the reason for that is because many of us here have been through those hard times and circumstances ourselves. You know, we know what it feels like to be in a place where we just need some help. We just need to know that somebody cares about us. And when somebody's going through a really tough time, you know, they don't need somebody preaching at them or quoting scripture to them or telling them what they did wrong. They fully get that. You know, if you've ever been down and out and you're broken, you don't need somebody to tell you that you're broke. You need somebody to help you with whatever you're going through. Somebody to, you know, just sit down with them and let them talk and tell you what their problems are. Or somebody to just put an arm around them and just be there for them and show them that you care. And, you know, not just tell them I'll be praying for you and Jesus loves you, and then turn around and walk off and leave them in their mess. You know, that don't show the love of Christ, and that don't help anybody. Another verse in the book of Jude that I really love is verse 22. It talks about people that have compassion, and they really make a difference. And that's what it takes, you know, to help other people. We first have to have a compassion for that person. We first have to truly love that person. You know, we can't love like Jesus and do it from a distance. We've got to get in there and show people that we care and go through those things with them. Two of my favorite verses in the whole Bible are 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So we're to comfort one another with the same comfort that God comforts us with. You know, we talked last week, and I want to talk a little bit about it more this week, about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And you can find that in verse 33. But that really struck home with me last week because, you know, we've all got issues. We've all got problems. You know, we just got through praying for my mom. She's got heart problems. Miss Sandy's knees are hurting. We got all kinds of sick people, people going through marriage problems. You know, I don't think there's anybody in here that don't have some kind of an issue that we're dealing with. So we all have issues, and we all need that safe place that we can come to, even though, like that verse says there, it says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." So I think we all need that safe place where we can come, even though we're fearful and that we're trembling, just like she was. A place where we can come and just let it all out before God and before somebody else and just tell the whole truth. You know, there's no matter what you're going through, there's a lot of freedom and healing and just getting that burden off your chest and getting it out in the open and talking to somebody else about it, bringing somebody else into your problem so you're not in it all by yourself. And, you know, we all need that place where we can get all that stuff off of our chest and know that we're not going to get judged for it. And we're not going to get condemned for being honest and open and saying, "I'm not okay." You know, a lot of churches, they don't want to hear your problems. They want you to come in and be dressed a certain way, act a certain way, go through the motions and, you know, look the part. And that's not what God calls the church to be. God calls the church to be a place of healing. A place where you can come broken and not leave that way. You can get the help that you need. You know, we want people to come to Christ and live a better life. And that's all fine and good. But You know, we can't have them just look the part. We have to be real about it. You know, when we invite somebody to come to Christ, we have to realize in order to do that, there's got to be some healing take place. We got to realize that people are starting out right where they are and not ignore the reality of the life that they're currently in. You know, not everybody comes to Christ on a bed of roses. You know, when they come looking for help, you don't need help unless you're in trouble. You don't need healing unless you're broken. And when most people come, that's what they come with. We can't expect people to come through the doors fully healed, fully ready to go. You know, they come needing help. That's why we come. And there has to be that willingness on our part, to get down in the mud with those people ourselves sometimes and help them out of it. You know, be willing to get our hands dirty and help with the work that they need to get done. And not just tell them what they need to do, but be willing to help them do it. And that's why it's so important that our love that we talked about last week is genuine. You know, we can't fake real love. It has to be genuine. You know, we read the verse last week in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 in the NLT. I love their version of it because it just puts it really plain. It don't need a whole lot of explanation. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. You know, hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. When somebody comes in and they have a problem, you know, we need to hate that problem they have just as much as they do. You know, that's what Jude's talking about with the compassion. If we don't care about what they're going through, if we don't take it personally ourselves, you know, it hurts me to see you going through that, then we're not going to put a whole lot of effort into trying to get them out of it. But if we truly do have compassion and we do love them, like that verse right there says, then we're going to hate whatever their problem is too. And we're going to put forth the effort it takes to help them get through that problem. So we have to truly love one another. You know, if our love for people isn't true when they start going through a difficult time, then we're just going to drop them like a hot potato. We'll be like, I don't need that. I don't need to be part of that. I don't want to inconvenience myself and get in your mess. And that's not what God called us to do. He called us to get in people's mess. But if our love is genuine, we will be there to help them, just like we said we would. And we won't be clouds with no water that we just read about in Jude. We'll be clouds with water, and what we promise we'll deliver. So we've got to be real, and we've got to be real about the gospel too. I think a lot of people are deceived, and they get lied to. You know, we've got to tell the real gospel. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, people need to know the truth, that coming to Christ, that don't erase all your problems. And that's what a lot of times churches promise people. They tell them, oh, if you just come to Jesus, everything will be hunky-dory from now on. And, you know, I can tell you from my own personal experience, that's not the case. But it does bring you into the family of God so that you're not fighting a battle on your own anymore. And there is great security in just knowing that. You know, I'm not on my own. I'm not by myself. There are people that will surround me just like we surrounded Mom a minute ago and prayed with her. You know, you got people all through the church that will help you with whatever problem you're going through. We've been talking a lot about community, probably more now than I've ever heard the church talk about community. Within the last 2 years, ever since COVID hit, you hear it more and more about how badly we need community, and that's because there is no community hardly anymore. Everybody got so isolated, they want to, I'll just handle what little problems I have, take care of my stuff, and everybody else can do the same. But I believe God is preparing his people for the hard times that are coming. And when we think about those things, you know, that can get pretty scary. And that can be pretty overwhelming when you think about having to do all those things that are coming on your own. But when we know that we belong to a community and a family, you know, we can get a lot of comfort out of that. There's a lot of security in just knowing I don't have to go through this stuff all by myself. You know, I'm part of a community. I'm part of a family. There's people that will help me. There's security in knowing that we are a part of the body of Christ and we don't have to do it by ourselves. You know, we talked last week about loving like Jesus in everyday life and how powerful that is when we all do it together. And I shared with you one example of that was feeding the 5,000. You know, I told you I can't feed 5,000 people by myself, but I can bring in 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to the food pantry. You know, and maybe a month from now, maybe I'll need something to eat. And because you're giving too, you know, if I need something to eat a month from now, then it'll be there. It'll be provided. You know, we have to start thinking about others and not just thinking about ourselves. I think James said it really well in James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And that's what he's talking about, is looking out for one another and putting our faith into action. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be you warmed and filled. You know, our version of that today would be like, well, we'll be praying for you. We hope the best for you, but don't give them anything. Don't give them any clothes. Don't give them any food. And that's what he says, when we don't give them the things which are needful to the body, what does that profit? That don't profit them at all. And in verse 17, it says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. People don't just need to hear the gospel. They need to see the gospel. They need to experience the love of God. They need to experience the gospel. We were just talking about this earlier. You know, kids don't just need to hear that Jesus loved them. And they do hear that a lot. But they need children's workers and teachers to show them that Jesus loves them. People that will take the time and spend time with them and teach them about Jesus and show them that Jesus loves them. You know, people that will put in the work that Josh was just talking about when he was making the announcements a while ago, that'll put in the work and take the time so they will have a vacation Bible school to go to. You know, it takes investment. It takes your time. It takes actually loving the kids and putting in the time and doing the work to show them that Jesus loves them. Then they'll believe there is a God and he does love me. I can see it. And that, not just with the kids, but with adults too. People need to see that in action. You know, ministries like the Kids Outdoor Zone that show young boys that the men of the church actually do care about them. They don't just tell them they do. It lets them know that they're not invisible and teach them how to become men of God when they grow up who love God and teach them how to love each other as followers of Jesus while they're young, and then they'll grow into a community of believers that love each other. You know, we got people that get out there and plant a garden, not so that they can have something to eat, but so that hundreds of other people that they don't even know can have something to eat. You know, there's a lot that goes on in a community, but we do it because we love each other. It's not selfish. It's done for the good of everybody. You know, parents and kids need to see a community working together on their behalf, so their kids can go to school with the supplies that they need to start the school year. You know, Josh was talking about that in the announcements too. It's not enough just to tell people and pray for them and say, we hope you have a good school year. I hope you got a good backpack and suit, good shoes and all those things. We need to put it into action and actually show them. God loves you. We love you. And because we love you and God loves you, we're going to provide that stuff for you. You know, that's how we show the love of Christ. That's how he did when he was walking this earth. That's how he fed the 5,000. You know, he could have just made enough food for him and the disciples and sent the people away, like the disciples said, but he didn't. He showed the people he loved them. You know, three times a week we got people who give up their time and energy to cook and serve food here at the church so that people have something to eat throughout the week. And that's especially important in the summer when kids are not going to school. You know, they don't have the breakfast and the lunch that they usually get, and their parents aren't making the money and probably not at home to feed them if they had the money because they're at work. We need people, excuse me, who are willing to open up their homes and be foster parents to kids that don't have anywhere to go. There is a great need for that. Everybody thinks about serving God has to be in the church, in ministry. Life is a ministry if you're a follower of Christ. It's not in the church. It's outside. It's everywhere we go. You know, we got people that are opening up their homes and being foster parents for kids that don't have anywhere to go. You know, if we're going to love like Jesus, it has to be in action. Of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power." You know, if the Spirit of God is in you, it can't help but come out of you. That's what the Spirit of God does. Once you surrender your life to Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll have a love for people that you never had before. You know, I'm not a very good preacher, I don't think. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not well spoken. But apparently Paul wasn't either. But he said, "I don't show my love of Christ for you in my preaching. I show it in the things that I will help you do if you need help." And I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things in the world to do, is to help people when they need help. I mean, I love coming in here and preaching too, but I know I'm not a very good preacher, but God's word speaks for itself. And if you do have the Spirit of God in you, it can't help but come out of you. Just like Josh was preaching a couple of weeks ago about the woman at the well, you know, Jesus told her that if you drink of the water that I give you, it's going to become a well of water springing up into eternal life. And you can see that in John chapter 4, that's verse 14. I don't want you taking my word for it. I want you to know that's what he said. So if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can't help but overflow into somebody else's life. And you can't help but have that compassion we've been talking about and genuine love for other people. Josh said something Sunday that really got my attention. And then last night, DJ said something at Celebrate Recovery that went right along with it. You know, Joshua was talking about the verse in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And he was talking about before Jeremiah was even born or even conceived, you know, that God had already created his spirit. It says, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations." So he was, even before he was even conceived or in his mother's womb, God had already created him to serve God and to serve people as a prophet. And last night, one of the teachings at Celebrate was we've got to get out of ourselves, quit being so selfish, and serve other people. You know, when we come to Christ, that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we serve God, is through serving other people. That's what Christ did. He came to serve other people. And that's, if we're going to be Christ-like, that's what we need to be doing too. And part of the lesson last night was in doing that, in serving other people, we not only find God's will for our life, but we find healing for ourselves while we're doing it. And we lead others to Christ in the process. You know, God's plan works itself out. If we're just willing to serve other people, then God's plan and God's will all comes together perfectly, just with us serving one another. And that got me to thinking, you know, in the beginning. You know, God's all about new beginnings. All through the Bible, it's a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. And that should be our life as a Christian. There should be all kinds of new beginnings. He created our spirits. Even the Bible says that even before the foundation of the world. And then we're conceived. And then we do develop in our mother's womb. And then we are born. Not to eternal life, but to this life. And then the Bible says we grow. You know, we grow up in knowledge. We grow in stature, our body. And we grow in maturity. We grow up. But we all grow up differently. You know, we all have different backgrounds. We've got different circumstances, different upbringings, different ways about us. You know, depending on our backgrounds and our upbringing and our circumstances, we're all different people. But we all get to the point one day, at some time or another, we realize in our souls, in our hearts, and in our minds that we have a choice to make. And I believe everybody comes to this place. At some point in your life, you come to the where you have to make a choice to either come to God or don't come to God. Either surrender your life to God or reject God. I think everybody comes to that. I call it a wake-up moment. I think everybody gets to a wake-up moment in their lives. And I think you're born with that in your heart. The Bible says our spirits are dead until we receive Christ. And we'll read that verse here in a minute. But I believe God ingrains even that much in our souls that there is a God and we need Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. And I like this in the NLT too because it explains it good. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. And He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So God ingrains it in every human heart to search out Him, to seek God. And just like parents are patient with their children, or at least I hope you're patient with your children, you're supposed to be, God is patient with us. And in 2 Peter, there's a good example of that in chapter 3 and verse 9. So the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. It's talking about the returning of the Lord, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is patient with us. He is has been very patient with me. You know, a lot of y'all know my story. I didn't come to Christ until I was 45 years old. I think that's being pretty patient to wait that long for somebody to come around. God's patient with us while we're growing up. And He lets us fall and fall and fall. And then when we get to that place I was just talking about, that wake-up moment, and we're faced with that decision, and we make that decision to give in to the pleading of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, then we're born again. Another new beginning. But then we go right back to being babies again. And this is the verse I was telling you about, Ephesians 2, 1. It says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, we're all born with our spirits are dead until we surrender to Christ. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. It says He quickens us. He brings our spirit to life. So now we've got another new beginning. And just like we have to grow up in our mortal bodies, you know, when we're born as little children, as babies, we have to grow up into adults. We have to do the same thing in our spiritual life. We have to grow up and mature. And just like God was patient and long-suffering with us while we were growing up and maturing, getting to the point of making that decision to surrender to Christ, He understands that now we're babies again. In our spiritual walk, we have to grow and mature in our faith. And again, God is patient with us, and He's long-suffering towards us while we're growing our faith. I think Peter is a really good example of that. You know, over and over again, he just kept messing up. But Jesus was patient with him. And I think he got frustrated with him a few times. If you read through the Gospels, that one time he told him, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, he's always telling him to calm down or whatever. He even cut a guy's ear off one time. But Christ never gave up on him. And eventually, Peter got it. And he had to go through some hardship to get there. And I think all of us do, too. But he finally, he got to the point, and he surrendered his will to the will of God. So just like God is patient with us, not only in our mortal life when we're growing up before we receive Christ, and he's patient with us after we receive Christ and helps us to grow up in our faith. If we're going to love like Jesus, we have to love people the same way. You know, we have to love people the same way Jesus loved us. Not just in word, but we have to be patient with them as they're growing in their spiritual walk. We can't expect them to just take off running and know everything that, you know, I've been in Christ for 6 years, and I'm not even close to knowing all I need to know. And I can't expect somebody else just walking through the door today to be where I'm at today. I don't expect them to be. So we have to be patient and long-suffering with them. And not just in word, but we need to, you know, in actual time, get in there and truly serve people the way that he did. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, even himself. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And if we're going to love like Jesus, we've got to tell people the whole gospel. You know, it's really good that we help other people when they need help. You know, it's good to feed people. It's good to comfort people when they need comforting. You know, feed them when they're hungry. Take care of the, James says, if we take care of the widows and the orphans, that's pure and undefiled religion. But if we don't share the whole gospel with them, then we're really not loving them. It's one thing to help people with the problems they face in this life, you know, with their material needs. You know, life is hard, and God and his family will help you through it, but Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. That is the whole gospel. If we share food and shelter and all these other things with people, but we don't tell the truth of the gospel, that without Jesus Christ, people are condemned, then we really haven't loved anybody. You know, we might help them through this life, but that's not going to help them a bit if Jesus comes back or if they die without him. You know, we quote John 3:16 all the time. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we can feed people, we can do all these other things for people. But if they don't receive Jesus as their Savior, then they're going to perish. They won't have everlasting life. And I don't know why it's so easy for us to rally together and feed the hungry and help the poor and do all these things. But it seems like when it comes right down to telling people the truth about eternal life and death, it seems like we shy away from it. It seems like it's really hard for us, even as Christians, to tell people if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have eternal life. This life will be all there is, and then there's eternal death, eternal separation from God. You know, people need to hear the whole gospel. And it's not all good. You know, there is a bad side to the gospel if people reject it, and they need to hear that. So all those things are good and necessary, but in the end, like I said, if we haven't shared the truth about life and death with them, then we have failed them. And now more than ever, I think people don't need a watered-down version of the gospel. They need the truth, and they need us to love like God loved us and tell them the truth. You know, we are to be patient and long-suffering. Remember that just like we were when we came to Christ, we were babies in our faith. It takes time to mature, and it takes time to grow. But we've got to be careful to share. If we're not careful, we won't share the whole gospel with them. We'll try to encourage them so much that we leave out the flip side of what happens if you reject Christ. And I think a lot of people slip back into their old ways and don't take the gospel serious enough because they weren't told the whole gospel. And the whole gospel is if you reject Christ, then you are condemned already. The Bible says that in John 3:19. I remember Sunday, it was Monday, one of my friends texted me after the baptism on Sunday, and he was talking about, you know, how powerful it was to watch one of his children get baptized and seeing the next generation of believers growing up right there before our eyes. You can see the next generation rising up. And that is exciting. And that's how we all should be excited to see people the way that God sees them, passing from death into life. And it really is that serious. You know, it's good to feed people. It's good to help people when they're down. But it's even better to lead them into eternal life and tell the whole gospel to them so they can share eternity with Him. So if we're going to love like Jesus, you know, let's work hard in serving God and serving other people and meeting their needs here and now. And let's share the whole gospel with them, that it's not just all about the life we're going through now, but in making that decision that secures our eternity when this life is over. You know, ever since COVID, and I said this earlier, and especially now, 2 years later, with inflation going crazy and prices are going crazy on everything, it seems like people are just so easily offended. You can't say anything to anybody without offending them. And I think the reason is that people are just scared. People are frustrated. They don't know what to expect. After the last few years, they don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And I think they just don't know what to do. That's why they're so scared. You know, there's not another word for it. People are just scared. And scared people get offended easy. And it's probably nothing against you. They're on edge. The least little thing can set people off because they're so edgy. And that's why people are losing hope all over the place. That's why you see mass shootings and people just losing their minds because they don't have anything, you know, steadfast in their life that they can depend on. And that's why it's so important right now that we be, as the people of God, we need to be solid in our faith. You know, people are looking for some kind of stability in their life. And I think if we're going to call ourselves the people of God, they ought to be able to find that here. We need to be stable in our faith. We need to live our faith and not be wishy-washy in it like we talked about last week. People are looking for something stable in their life in an unstable world. And, you know, we can't share that with people or offer that to people if we don't have it ourselves. So we've got to be dedicated to being constant in our faith and honestly be there for one another and be the community that God designed us to be. We need to be devoted not only to God, not only to church, but to each other. You know, like I said earlier, if we're all by ourselves, if it's just me, if I'm just one, then we're all vulnerable on our own. But there is a lot of strength in community. So we need to grow closer and more united so that we can be strong together in Christ and be able to love, you know, the people around us like Jesus, even in the middle of the hard times. That's when we should be the strongest, because we should draw even closer to each other and unite even more in the hard times so that we'll be able to help people that need. I want to share this verse with you in closing. You know, like I said a minute ago, people are running low on hope, and we need to be able to share that hope that we have in Christ with them. And if they can't get it from God's people, then, you know, there's nowhere else in the world they can get it. We're it. You know, we should be the line of defense that people need, and that's what God calls us to be. I love this verse in Philippians chapter 2. That's what it's talking about. In verse 15, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So even, you know, the darker it gets out there, the brighter it should be shining in here. We should be able to give people hope and let them know that even though the world is falling apart, our God is not. So let's be patient and long-suffering and kind and loving towards people, even when they're being difficult. You know, that's what brought us to Christ. It's the love of God that draws people to Jesus. You know, not judgment or rules or any of that stuff, but it's the love of God that draws people to Christ. So let's be examples of God's love this week, and let's give people hope and trust God that while you're helping somebody else with their problems, that you can be sure he's working on yours. And he is. I've learned that the more I take my hands off of my problems and focus on doing what God has called me to do in somebody else's life and helping them with the things that they're going through, it seems like my troubles just fade away. Somehow or another, they always get taken care of, and I didn't wind up doing a thing to take care of on my own. But you got to be strong in your faith and just trust God that he is working on your behalf. Will you pull up Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1, I think? Yeah, this is a really good example of that. And this is Jesus when he's sending out his disciples to go out and preach and to teach in the cities. You've heard the story where he sends them out two by two. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus has made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. So I just got through telling you, if you'll trust God, and while you're helping other people with their problems, while you're going out and spreading the hope like we're supposed to and being that light in a dark world, God will take care of your stuff. It says Jesus went to teach and to preach in their cities while they were gone doing what he called them to do, and he'll do the same for you and for me in our lives if we're just obedient to him and go do what he's called us to do. But that's what God laid on my heart this week, and again, I thank y'all for coming out if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in online. Let's do that this week. Let's go out and be examples of God's love and share the hope with people that need it. Because there's a whole lot of hurting people out there. But let me pray for us and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for helping me to get up here and preach this message tonight. I just pray that everybody that heard it, Lord, would remember it. And I pray, God, that you would give us the courage to go out and be the people of God that you've called us to be, to share our faith, Lord, and to show our faith in our actions, to show your love in our actions, God. Help us to be the body of Christ that you've called us to be, and we'll give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.